Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Building, you're not frustrated at me, you're frustrated at God. Because I'm not worried about when we get into a building. I'm excited about embracing the vision of what God has for us. And so I'm asking you as the church body to embrace this facility for this season, okay? For this season. I'm not talking about forever. We're not staying here forever. God has a plan. He has a purpose, but we have to embrace where he has led us to if we want to ever get to where he's calling us to go. And if we're so focused on where he wants us to go, but we miss what he wants to do here, we won't be ready when we get where he wants us to go. We've got to embrace and ask God, what is the vision for the Fort Payne City Auditorium? Why did you bring the Well Fort Payne to the Fort Payne City Auditorium? What is the reason? What is the person? And I will tell you what it is. Because I've been asking, I've been praying, and I've gotten prophetic words from three people about this building saying, you are in this building because God has brought you here for this city. There are people that are going to come into this facility that they might not go to a church building. They might not go somewhere else. God wants to do something here. So I'm asking you to abandon the vision of when we get a building, when we get a facility, when we get there. No, God can and God will move right here, okay? And you know what? I'm just going to say it because it just came to my spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I said stuff like this at Livingstone, and we didn't fully see it. You know why? Because we didn't buy into the vision. Because we didn't believe that God could do it. We thought we had to have a building. And I can say these things to you till I'm blue in the face, but until we as a whole, as a unified body, embrace the vision, we will not see the victory. I can't do it on my own. I'm not saying I've been perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But we have to embrace, God, you have brought us here for such a time as this. What do you want to do while we're here? Vision doesn't always mean 5 years down the road. Vision is being able to see what God wants to do. So, God, what do you want to do in this place? God brought us to the Fort Payne City Auditorium because he wants to use the Well Fort Payne to touch the city with the power of God. And what better place and way to do it than putting us in a centralized location, in a facility like this that we could use to touch the city with the glory of God. So when the thought comes, when we get a building, put it out of your mind. That's not our main focus. You know what our main focus is? Being the church. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when God wants us to have a building, I haven't given up on searching. I haven't given up on looking. I haven't given up on knowing that we will. But I know this. If that's all I'm looking at, I'm going to miss everything right here and right now. And I'm going to be frustrated. And I'm going to be upset. Realize God is in control. And we sang it earlier. He's never failed me yet. We are so, I'm going to say good, but really bad at singing things that we don't believe. We sing it, right? You've never failed me. Great is your faithfulness. Well, why don't we have a building yet, right? And we start to complain. Why hasn't he provided for this? Why hasn't he done that? Our job is we embrace the vision that he has and he will get us to the victory. Okay, God's in control. He knows what he's doing. But we're sure to miss the victory if we fail to accept the vision. So let him do his thing. Amen. That's why I read Isaiah chapter 54 to you, because this is the vision. I'm going to break it down and explain it to you better. This is the vision that God has given for this house to touch this city. But what we must understand that with vision comes responsibility. Okay, and so I want to give you some responsibility today through this scripture. And I want to unpack this passage and reveal to you the responsibility that we have in the midst of the vision. Because vision is great, but after vision has been cast, responsibility must be assumed. Okay, so what's the vision? What's our responsibility? Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. The word enlarge means to make room. Okay. So point number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Our responsibility is to make room, okay? We've got to make room. That's what we did by leaving our previous place. If you haven't noticed, this place is a little bit bigger than the previous place that we were meeting. We could let that feel awkward. We could let that be weird. But I believe that God called us here because he wanted to make room. Why? Because what he's sending, we could not hold in the capacity of where we used to be. He brought us to a place where we had to make room for him to work and for him to move and for him to fill it. That's why, in fact, you may wonder, why do we meet here instead of the Coal and Iron building? One of the reasons is there's room here to grow. There's not any room to grow there. We want to be in a place where we say, God, where do you want us to be? And he said, I want you to be at the City Auditorium. Why? Because he's making room. We're making room for what God wants to do. He didn't bring us here. I truly believe this. He did not bring us here to leave these side sections empty. He didn't bring us here to leave rows in between people empty. He says, make room and I'll fill it. Make room and I'll fill it. That's why we're here. He brought us here because there are wounded, broken, hurting, lost, empty, needful people in this community that need a touch from God. They need the presence of God. They need the healing of God. They need the manifestation of his presence. And we are going to be passionate to see God do what only he can do. And I believe that because we said yes to the vision of allowing him to make room, God is about to explode this place. Not for my glory, not for your glory, not for the Wells' glory, but so that he might be made known in DeKalb County. But let me remind you, church, we've got to say yes to the vision. We've got to say, yes, I want to see you do those things, because there are still thousands of people that need to know Jesus in DeKalb County. There are still thousands of people that have never met him, never known him, maybe even never heard his name. And to me, a soul coming to know Jesus Christ is the greatest victory that there ever could be or ever will be. And when we don't accept the vision, we are passing on the victory. So every time we make room, he fills it. We see this in scripture. When there was a woman that came to Elisha and she said, the creditors are coming and they're going to take my sons away because my husband left great debts. He said, go gather. He said, do you have anything? She said, I have nothing except a jar of oil. He said, go gather empty vessels and bring them into your home and shut the door behind you. And you and your sons begin to fill the vessels. And every empty vessel that was there was filled with that one little jar of oil. Why? Because she made room. And every time that you make room and you offer yourself to God, he will fill it. I preached months ago about a time when Elisha told the army to dig ditches in the valley. And as they dug ditches, God sent a rushing mighty water to come and to fill the ditches that they had dug. Why? Because they made room and they were obedient to do what God called them to do. He filled it. Amen. There's another story where Moses, we've been talking about Moses. When Moses erected the tabernacle that God had told him to build, what did God do? He filled it with his glory. When Solomon built the temple, what did God do? He filled it with his glory. When we make room, God will fill the empty space. Okay? So we've got to make room. Are you guys awake? Are you guys alive? It's okay. You know what? You know what? I'm going to say it whether you are or not. That's okay. Because the scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? They shall be filled. If you make room, he will fill it. That's what we're doing. Now, we've already done this in the natural because we've moved locations, and this is obviously a space that we've made plenty of room. There's plenty of open space. But I'm asking you now to embrace it in the spirit. Cast down every thought of feeling like we're overwhelmed by this room. No, we're not. He brought us here because he wants to fill it. Amen? It's going to happen here. That's why we're here. The next thing that this scripture says is, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. To me, when I think about the word stretch out, it makes me think about getting uncomfortable. So the first thing is we need to make room, and we've already done that in the natural. Now I'm asking you to make room in the spirit. Number two is get ready to be uncomfortable. Stretch out, okay? Have you ever stretched and it felt uncomfortable, but eventually it started to feel good? At first, when you start to stretch, it's like, oh, and then you hit that spot and you're like, oh, that's good. Right there. That's it. It feels great when you start to stretch, right? And you can never grow unless you're willing to be stretched outside of your comfort zone. It's true in working out. You've got to push yourself to your limits to get stronger. You've got to be willing to put yourself through a place and a season of being uncomfortable. But here's what I've come to learn, is that growth is great, but growth is also uncomfortable. That's why I've got children every now and then. Judah, right here on the front row, who turns 9 this year, Judah will get a growing pain. You guys remember getting growing pains growing up? I remember getting growing pains in the leg or in the arm or wherever it would be. And it was uncomfortable, but you know what it was? It was a sign that I was growing. And I believe that as we've made room, God's going to begin to fill the room. There's going to be more and more people coming in, getting saved, getting touched, getting delivered, getting healed, getting set free. But it always sounds exciting, but for those that have been here for a while, it can be uncomfortable. And so I'm saying to you, get ready to be uncomfortable. You know why? Because stretching means that you're willing for God to put you in places where you are not in your comfort zone. So I'm encouraging you to say yes to whatever he wants. When this place starts to fill up because we've made room, you won't have the elbow room that you have right now on your right or on your left. Okay, you won't know everybody by name. That may be uncomfortable for some. You might not get your favorite parking spot that right now is readily available to you because you come and you park there every Sunday. But what if you show up one week and there's nowhere to park and you got to park down the street, or you got to park over in this parking lot, or you got to park in the back and you got to walk a little bit further? I know it's a natural thing, but we'll be tempted to get frustrated because it's uncomfortable. And then we start getting frustrated. Well, it was better when there was only 50 of us coming than when there's 100 coming. It will bring some form of uncomfortability. But let's realize this. Another way it may get uncomfortable is every single person that comes might not look like you, talk like you, act like you, dress like you, vote like you. So let's predetermine this right now. No matter what they look like, smell like, talk like, act like, we're going to accept them. Because if God sends someone to us, I don't care what they came from, who they are, if they're black, brown, yellow, white, if they paint themselves blue and call themselves a Smurf, we are going to welcome them in this place. You know why? Because we're not going to resist anybody that wants a touch from God. But another reason that it may get uncomfortable is more people means more of a need. It always seems like, oh man, more people would be great for the church, but you have to realize more people means there's more need. There's more opportunities to serve. There's greater need to give. There's greater need to pray. There's greater need to minister. So we've got to make room in our hearts. We've got to make room in our minds, and we've got to get prepared like we've been talking about, so that when it comes, we've got to be like, you know what? It is uncomfortable for a season, because there might be so many people here that Pastor Madison and I can't pray for everybody. Pastors Lauren and Bonnie can't pray for everybody. So that might put you out of your comfort zone to need to pray to somebody, minister to somebody, talk with somebody, take somebody out to eat, spend time with them, invite them over to your house. And that may seem like it's out of your comfort zone, but if we're going to be the church and be who God has called us to do, we've got to embrace. It's going to be uncomfortable, but if it's what God wants, then I'm all for it. Amen? So it's more opportunities. I have a vision in my mind of people pulling into the parking lot, and they can't wait till they get to the altar to get right with God. And a parking lot attendant is leading them to Jesus in the parking lot, which may be uncomfortable because they're like, you know what, just stick me in the parking lot, because then I just have to wave at people. I don't have to talk to anybody. And then somebody opens their car door and they look at him in the eye and go, what do I need to do to get saved? And that parking lot attendant goes, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved, and leads them to the Lord right there in the parking lot. But what you have to realize is when revival begins to take place, it's not going to be common church like you've always known common church. And so we've got to be willing to be uncomfortable. So what I'm doing today is I'm getting you ready. I'm wetting your whistle. I'm speaking in faith what I believe we're going to see take place in this house. So get ready not to be comfortable. Get ready to be uncomfortable. That's what I'm prepping you with today. Because what I love about being in situations where I'm uncomfortable is it makes room for the comforter, who's the Holy Spirit. So when I step out of my comfort zone in obedience to God, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus defines as a comforter, is given opportunity to comfort me and to give me strength where I feel weak. So get ready to be uncomfortable so that you can be comforted by the Holy Spirit and you can walk closely with him. The next thing that it says is do not spare. Do not spare. So make room, get ready to be uncomfortable. Number three, don't hold back. Do not spare. Don't hold back. Sometimes we're tempted in our minds and in our natural feelings to hold back in a season. For a couple reasons. Maybe it's out of fear, thinking, if I give my time, if I give my money, if I give my talents and my abilities, and I show up to serve, what if it's wasted? Well, to that I would say, nothing you ever give to God is wasted. No time you give to God is wasted. No money you give to God is wasted. None of your talents or your abilities you ever give is wasted. So don't be tempted to hold back. Don't be tempted to keep back for you because of a sense of security. We see this in the life of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5. They sold a parcel of land. They brought money and they said it was all the money. And Peter said, what prompted your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, to hold back from that? I want to encourage you. I'm not asking you to give 100% of your income to this church. What I'm asking you to do is if God asks you to do it, don't hold it back. Be willing. If God says, I want you to go volunteer for the nursery. I want you to volunteer to be a greeter. I want you to sign up for the worship team. I want you to start showing up at 9:30 for prayer time on Sunday mornings. Don't hold back. It may be uncomfortable, but do it because nothing on God is wasted. So sometimes we hold back out of fear, but sometimes we hold back simply because we think that what we give or do won't make a difference. We think that it's so minute, it's so little, it's so small that nothing that we ever do could make a difference. It'd just be like a drop in the ocean. If I were to give my talents, nobody would notice. My talents aren't big enough to make a difference. If I were to give my $10 a week, it wouldn't make a difference because what's $10 amidst what everybody else is giving? If I were to give my time and my energy and my giftings and my abilities, I'll just not give because it won't make a difference. That is a lie from the enemy because the answer is that none of us can make a difference on our own. No matter if you're the most talented person in the room, on your own, you are nothing. On my own, I am nothing. But when each one does its part, working together, which is what the scripture talks about, every joint supplies, every need. So you may think my $2 a week won't make a difference. Yes, it will if you're playing your part, if that's what God has called you to do. It's like when Jesus was sitting at the temple opposite the treasury, he saw the little widow woman put in her two mites. Jesus got the attention of his disciples. He said, hey, look, you see that lady? She gave more than everybody else. Why? She gave out of her need. They gave out of their abundance. She gave more than everybody else combined. Why? Because she was willing to give what she had, even though it seemed like it wouldn't make a difference. It meant something to God. So if God is calling you to serve, God is calling you to give, God is calling you to do something, realize you can make a difference when we all serve together to make a difference. You may think inviting one person to church won't matter. But you never know who that one person is going to be and how it's going to touch their life. Pastor Madison prayed earlier about household salvation. You invite someone, you're not just inviting them, you're inviting their entire family. Every contribution that you make to the kingdom of God, it matters. So don't think my $10 won't matter, my serving won't matter, I don't have any special gifting, I can't sing, I can't pray, I can't preach, I'm just an attendee. No, collectively, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can be the church of Jesus Christ that touches this city. It makes me think of the little boy in the book of Matthew that when there was a great need to arise and everybody was hungry and the disciples wanted Jesus to send the people away because there wasn't enough food to feed them, and Jesus said, you give them something to eat, right? Because they would faint on their journey. And the disciples said, we don't have anything. And there was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Didn't seem like enough to feed the whole crowd. But when he gave it to Jesus, it multiplied. What I'm saying to you is if you'll be willing to not hold back, to not spare, to give what God puts it on your heart to give, he will multiply it and make it expand so much greater and so much further than we could ever do on our own. So don't hold back, don't withhold, don't spare, because that's what that word spare means, is to withhold. Okay? Meaning I have something to give, but I'm choosing not to give it. I have time that I could give to serve. I have talents and abilities that I could use to serve. You know what? I have money that I could give. I have this that I could offer, but I'm going to hold it back because I'm afraid. I'm going to go like the man in the parable of the talents. I'm going to hide it in the ground. Why? Because I knew my master was a shrewd man, and he reaps where he has not sown. And so, you know what? I'm just going to withhold it. I'm telling you today, do not spare. That's part of the vision. Do not withhold. Because what we have to look at is, what is the eternity of our community worth to us? Because when we withhold something that God has given us to use to advance his kingdom, we are saying that person getting saved, that person getting healed, that person coming to know the Lord and serving him and walking with him is not worth me giving up what I have. I'd rather keep what I have than use it to invest in the kingdom of God. Or we think, it won't make a difference, so why give it anyways? I'm telling you today, it does and it will make a difference. The next thing he says is, lengthen your cords. Enlarge the place of your tent. Make room. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Get ready to be uncomfortable. Do not spare, meaning don't hold back. And the fourth thing is lengthen your cords. That word lengthen in the Hebrew means to tarry long. Okay? To tarry long. To lengthen means to tarry long. So what I'm saying to you today is, stay faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't fall short. Because I'll say this, many of you are some of the most faithful people, I believe, on the planet Earth. And I've known you to show extreme longevity. But I came to remind you to tarry long. I came to remind you to lengthen your cords. I'm not rebuking you today. I'm encouraging you and spurring you on to stay faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Just like I said, he didn't bring us to leave these sides empty. He didn't bring us to this place just to stop, just to quit. So if he's not quitting on us, let's not quit on him. Let's stay faithful. Let's lengthen our cords. He brought us to this place because he wants to do something great. But we've got to be faithful to embrace the vision so that we can see the victory. In fact, I have a picture that's been all throughout yesterday and the day before. This picture was on my mind. I sent it to Shelley to put up here. Maybe you've seen it before. It's kind of a goofy cartoon. But obviously the gentleman on the bottom, he's been working for a long time. His sleeves are rolled up. His tie is down. And he's just on the brink of finding all those precious diamonds. And he figured, you know what? I've tried. I've gone far. I've gone farther than other people have gone. I've stayed faithful for this long, but I just don't think it's actually going to happen. I don't think I'm gonna make a difference. But you've got this guy up top that he's still going after it. He's still going. And whether he will make it or not, I don't know. But I know this. Every time you quit, you lose. So don't stop short. Lengthen your cords. Be faithful. Say, God, we haven't gotten to the diamond room yet, but I believe that just a few more. I mean, how many more hits do you think it would take with that pickaxe before he got there? One, two, maybe three? I don't know. But I know this, he could have made it if he would have just taken a few more swings. So lengthen your cords. Stay faithful. Stay on course. You know why? Because his promises are so yes and amen. And this is his promise, this vision for this house to be filled with people seeking and knowing and finding the presence of God. And so we will see the victory if we remain faithful to the vision. The next thing, the final thing that I want to talk about is, he says, strengthen your stakes. So make room, enlarge the place of your tent. Get ready to be uncomfortable. Don't hold back. Stay faithful. Strengthen your stakes. What this says to me is, stay grounded, okay? Stay grounded, because stakes were what you would drive into the ground to keep your tent from flying away from every wind that would blow through the place. You could put your poles up, you could put your covering up, but if you did not have your stakes in the ground, your tent was not going to be stable. It was going to be blown this way and fall over. It was going to be carried away by every wind. And I believe that we had a word from God from the book of Ezra that we have a peg in the house of the Lord, and we have a mandate and a commission to bring revival to DeKalb County, but we've got to strengthen our stakes. We've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay grounded, meaning we can't chase every wind and wave of doctrine and get excited about every single move that comes along. We must be grounded in solid doctrine and Bible teaching. Listen to me. I want to see services where the power of God is moving and people are getting saved and healed and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, jumping in the Spirit, shouting, clapping, dancing, receiving their prayer language. I want to see everybody laid out under the power of God, but we must never neglect the proper teaching and doctrine that keeps us grounded. Because what happens is people get so focused on the manifest move of God that they forget the simple teachings of the Bible. They forget that solid teaching is what keeps us grounded, because the wind of the Spirit blows and moves. But you know, I've seen so many people that God starts moving, and the next thing you know, they start getting weird. They start getting flaky. They start preaching things that are not in the Bible. They start preaching a different doctrine, because when the wind began to blow through the place and revival began to happen and the fire of God came up, they started mixing strange fire with God's fire. And he says, I don't do that, because they didn't stay grounded. They got weird. They got fluky. They started talking to the dead, and they started preaching things that were out of left field. Why? Because they didn't stay grounded. Because it's exciting to chase a move of God, but it's not exciting to listen to somebody teach you sometimes the word of God that is true, that is accurate, that keeps you grounded in your life. So my encouragement to you today is stay grounded. This is the vision that God has given us, and the vision is from God. But the vision, even though it's from God, it's our responsibility. This is what he's asking us to do. Our responsibility, though, I believe, makes way for his response. Our responsibility makes way for his response. What I mean by that is he always rewards the diligent. He favors those who are obedient and take the responsibility that he lays out in front of them, that he gives us to fulfill and complete. So that means that if we will make room, get ready to be uncomfortable, not hold back, stay faithful, and stay grounded, then we can receive his response, which comes in verse 3. Okay? So he says, you enlarge your tent. You stretch out your curtains. You don't spare. You don't lengthen your cords. You strengthen your stakes. And then he says, for you shall, meaning I'm going to unleash and release this on your life, but you've got to be faithful to do the things that I've already told you to do. But if you'll be faithful to do it, he says, you shall, not you might, but you shall, meaning it will come to pass. He will do what he said that he will do. But you've got to, before we see him do what he's going to do, we've got to expand to the right. Yeah. We've got to enlarge the place of our tent. But he said, you shall. What did he say? He said, you'll expand to the right and to the left. He said, now when I look at you on Sunday mornings, I see to my right and to my left, which would be to your right and to your left, I see these empty spaces, and I feel like God is saying to me today, you shall expand to the right and to the left. You shall. We're going to see it take place, but we've got to embrace the vision. We've got to make room, which we've partly done. We've got to strengthen. We've got to expand. We've got to do what he is calling us to do. But I love this definition. When he says you shall expand to the left and to the right, it means to break through. To break through. In fact, Jeff shared a word with the worship team this morning. Jeff, are you okay with me sharing some of that with the... I put you right on the spot. Just ask you. Don't you love that? I mean, when people ask you something, it's just like, absolutely. Yeah, sure. It's like when your child asks you if they can spend the night or if their friend can spend the night in front of their friend. And you always say, absolutely. And then you grab that child and you go, don't you ever ask me in front of them again, right? So sorry, Jeff. Don't grab me later like that, because then we might have to lock up. You know, I wouldn't want that in church. That'd be awkward, right? If you guys had to break one of the worship leaders and the pastor up, that'd just be weird. So please don't lay hands on me. But it means to break through. And it's interesting, God had spoken this to me, showed this to me when I was studying. And Jeff said that a couple weeks ago when he was praying, that the Lord gave him a vision of a dream where he was walking on a frozen pond and it began to crack and it began to break. And he thought he was going to fall through. But then it turned into a door and it busted open and he was able to walk through it. And what the Lord spoke to him was every breakthrough begins with a crack. And sometimes when you feel like you're breaking and you're cracking, it's God making way for you to walk into the breakthrough. Maybe over the past 6 months or year, you felt like you're breaking and you're cracking. Don't worry. God is making a way for you to expand and to break through and to burst out, to spread abroad, to disperse and to grow. That's what the word expand means. He says, you shall expand. And I say under the unction of the Holy Spirit right now, the Wellfort Pain shall expand, meaning to break through. to burst out, to spread abroad, to disperse, and to grow. And here's what I love about breakthrough. It doesn't matter if it's a little wall or a big wall. If he wants it broken down, it's going to be broken down. So don't think, well, it's a little thing or it's a big thing. If he wants to break through and expand, he will break through and he will expand. I don't care if people say it'll never be done, that'll never happen. I'm not listening to what they said about it or what they thought about it. I serve the God of the breakthrough. We will expand to the left. We will expand to the right. And I'm just going to do this just because I want to, okay? I'm going to do it because I want to. I mean, that's the great thing about being an adult is you can do what you want, right? We will break through to the left and to the right. We will expand because, why? We've made room. Hopefully you're saying, I don't want to, but I'm willing to be uncomfortable. If you like being uncomfortable, you're weird, okay? No one really likes to be uncomfortable, but I'm willing to be uncomfortable. And that leads me to something that God's been dealing with me about and dealing with me about, and I'm ready to finally make the step of faith and do it, okay? You ready? Starting in March, not next Sunday, but the next Sunday, we're going to set the band up on the stage. Here's why. We've got to make room. Yeah. If we want people to be ministered to in the altar, we've got to make room in the altar. Because Pastor Madison and I talk about it. We go home, we're like, oh, I could feel that there needed to be ministry, but it's almost like people feel like they don't feel like they can come to the altar. It's cramped. I want you to know you can always come to this altar, whether there's an altar or not, but I want to make room. But you have to realize that sometimes making room makes you embrace the uncomfortable. Because one of the reasons we're down here is it feels uncomfortable to be up there. Because it's not full. If it was full, sure, it'd feel great to be up on the stage. But it feels weird being up there if this place isn't full. But if we'll operate in faith and we'll make room, he'll fill it. I believe he's going to fill these altars. In fact, Jaina gave Pastor Madison a word about that a couple months ago, about the altar and making room in the altar. Well, March, the first Sunday of March, we will be on that stage. Why? Because we're going to make room. We're going to embrace the fact that it's uncomfortable. You think you're going to be uncomfortable down here? Trust me. Becky and Jeff and Brian and Saxon and me will be real uncomfortable up there looking down here at you guys. But that's okay. Why? Because I'm willing to get uncomfortable. Because we can't grow if we won't get uncomfortable. We won't grow if we don't push ourselves. We don't grow if we don't obey and operate in faith. We won't expand to the right and we won't expand to the left if we don't operate in the vision. He said, if you make room, if you get ready to be uncomfortable, if you will stretch out, if you'll do anything that it takes to advance the kingdom of God, I'll meet you in that place. I'll fill you. I'll expand you. So here's my encouragement to you. Let's embrace the stretching. Let's make room. Let's be willing to be uncomfortable. Let's give everything that we have to give in order to see him move. Let's not hold back. Let's stay faithful. But let's also stay grounded. Let's not get weird. Let's not get strange. Let's not get fluky. Let's stay true. But I believe breakthrough belongs to the Lord. He said, you shall break through. Here's what I've come to learn about God. If I'll do my part and I'll trust him with the rest, he will be faithful every single time. I'm not trying to twist his arm into doing what I want him to do. This is the vision that he's given us for this house. This is the vision that we're committed to. And this is what I want to see more than anything is God moving and operating. And not so that I can have more people to speak to on Sunday mornings. Not so that we can have the biggest church in Fort Payne. But so that we can make the biggest impact for the kingdom of God in advancing the movement of his word and his will in Fort Payne and in DeKalb County. Do you believe that this morning? Would you stand to your feet with me? What I want you to do with me is maybe a little bit weird. In fact, Shane and Tim, could you guys move these ropes for me on the sides? What I want to do is I want to release you to, we're going to begin to pray, and you got to be willing to make room and get uncomfortable. But I want us to begin to pray over these side sections for the people that are going to come in, for the breakthrough that's going to happen, for the expansion. So, Brandon, if you would just start a pad in the key of A up there, that'd be great. And I'm just going to begin to pray. And as you feel led and you feel comfortable, just begin to walk through these sections. Just as a church, what we're doing is we're embracing the vision so that we can see the victory. God, I thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough. I thank you that you have said you shall expand to the left and to the right. And I believe that we are going to see these seats filled, God, not for our glory, not for the name of this place, but so that people can know God, so that people can experience you and walk in you, God. And we're crying out and we're praying for our neighbors, for our family members, for those that live in our community, God, for people that look different than us and act different from us, God. And we are beseeching you right now in intercession, God. And we're saying, we want to do what you have called us to do. We make room. God, we're willing to be uncomfortable. God, we will stretch. We will grow. We will do everything that you ask us to do. God, we will strengthen our stakes. We will not spare. We will lengthen our cords. God, whatever you're asking, Father, we just humbly come before you and we just say, whatever you want us to do, we will do. We will adhere to the vision. As it says in Habakkuk, write the vision down and make it plain so that he that runs can read it. Father, as we run after your will and as we walk in your favor and we walk in obedience, God, we want to know the vision, because without vision, people cast off restraint. Without vision, there can be no victory. God, you have given us a game plan, and so now we commit to the game plan, and we believe in faith that your word will not return to you void, but we will expand to the left and to the right. God, we embrace where you have brought us, who you have called us to be, what you have called us to do, God, and right now I'm asking and believing that you will be faithful, because you are the God of the breakthrough. As David said in the book of 2 Samuel, he said, he that you are the God of the breakthrough. And we just name this place right now that this is a place of breakthrough. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of healing. It's a place of wholeness. It's a place of freedom. It's a place of life. It's a place of peace, God. It's the place where your glory dwells. And Father, we just say that we will see you do everything that you have said you will do, because we believe. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to pray. Sing it one more time. You're the God of the breakthrough. Because you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise. Sing that praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. Father, I thank you that even when it feels like we're breaking down, you're still in control. You're still on your throne. You still know exactly what you're doing. And Father, I pray for the faith of every single person in this room to be rejuvenated today. God, add to our faith virtue. God, I ask that you would strengthen us to be able to carry the weight of the vision and the burden. God, strengthen us to be willing to be uncomfortable. God, help us to not spare, to not hold back. God, fill us with your faithfulness so that we can be faithful, God. I pray that you would help us to stay grounded and committed in seeking you and knowing you, God. We don't want to seek the growth more than we seek the God of the growth, God. We don't want to seek the move of God more than we seek God. And so we keep our eyes fixed upon you, and we know and we admit that without you, we can do nothing. But with you, the word of God says, we can do all things. Not through our own strength, but through Christ who strengthens us. Enable us to carry the vision so that we can walk into the victory, I ask today. Thank you that you're a victorious God. And Lord, I pray for those right now that are battling something in their life. I pray breakthrough. I pray healing. Lord, whatever it is, you know what they're facing, what they're struggling with, the wall that it seems like they keep hitting their head against. But I want to remind you, church, of the word that my dad shared when he was here back in at the end of November, where Elijah goes to the widow of Zarephath, and God has commanded the widow there to provide for him, and she's going to make a cake for her, she and her son, and she's going to die. Elijah shows up, and he says, "What are you doing?" And she tells him, and he says, "Okay, that's fine, but can I have a cup of water?" "Sure." And as she's walking away, he goes, "Oh yeah, bring me some bread too." And she was willing to provide for the prophet before she provided for herself. And because she did, the Bible says that her jar of oil and her bin of flour did not run dry. There's some of you that are thinking, "Well, I can't give anything to church because I've got my own stuff to worry about." You cannot go wrong with putting the house of God first in your life. Somebody here has thought, "I can't give and tithe the way I know I should because I have this bill." I'm saying today, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you cannot go wrong by giving to God. You're not giving to me. Listen, I don't make more or less based upon what you give, and I don't even know what you give. This isn't about me. This is about you doing what God has called you to do. And I'm not just talking about money. Maybe you've thought, I can't serve in the church because I have this thing that I'm trying to break through. If you will commit to this vision that God is giving us, I'm believing it's going to unlock breakthroughs in your life that you've been fighting for years and years and years. Because he will honor those who honor him. And this is his house. It's not my house. This church doesn't belong to Spencer DeVries. It's in the hands of the Lord. So Father, I just ask right now for breakthrough in every single life, in our church family, in our lives that we go throughout the week. I thank you that you will break through. And as we see breakthrough in your house, we're going to see breakthrough in our lives, in our finances, in our relationships, in our health, God. I feel like there's someone here today, you've been struggling. You got a bad report this week on your health. I just pray healing in Jesus' name. Receive the healing of the Lord. Listen to this. By his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. He already healed you. Receive that healing in Jesus' name. Receive it. Just say it right now. Just say, "I receive it in Jesus' name." If you need healing in your body, healing in your mind. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I want to do one more thing. I'm going to ask every single person to join me in the altar this morning. We're going to consecrate this altar to be used for the kingdom of God. If we're going to make room and we're going to get up on the stage, let's get right here on the altar together as a family. Let's begin to cry out for the souls that are going to come. Just like we prayed for the seats, we're going to pray for the altar. God, I ask that this would be an altar like when Elijah called down fire from heaven. God, we declare we are rebuilding the altar. We've done it before. We'll do it again, God. Because you have done it before, you will do it again. And so we consecrate this altar to be a holy space, a consecrated place. This is where your glory dwells, God. This is where you're going to move. God, we're going to see people delivered and set free. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people's lives get turned around, Father. I believe that in this altar, marriages are going to be restored. I believe that in this altar, that sins are going to be repented of. God, I believe that in this altar, people are going to receive the call to ministry and to lead and to be men and women of God. And so, Father, I ask that you would just consecrate this place, Lord. We apply the blood of Jesus to it right now. We speak cleansing over it in Jesus' name, consecration. This place is holy to the Lord. This altar belongs to you, God. I believe we're going to feel the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place, God, that people's lives are going to be touched like they've never been touched, and they're going to come away from the meetings with you and knowing you and being ministered to, saying, this is what I've been looking for my entire life that I didn't know that I was missing. I thought I was going to find it in friends. I thought I was going to find it in money. I thought I was going to find it in my career. But this, the presence of God and the relationship with Him, is what I've been seeking and longing for. And I never knew the empty hole and the void that was in my life could be filled the way that it was filled today. So God, we're saying we make room in this place, and we believe in faith that You are going to fill it, God. What You've done before, You will do again. If you've seen God move before, you've seen Him move, just begin to say, God, I believe I'll see You do it again. God, I believe I'll see You do it again. God, I've seen You move mountains. I've seen You heal bodies. I've seen You open blind eyes, God. I've seen You heal cancer, God. I've seen You do miracles that can't even be computed or explained in the human mind, God. And I believe that You are no respecter of persons. You are no respecter of places. But God, just like I've seen You do it in Scottsboro, I'll see You do it in Fort Payne. Like I've seen You do it in Canada, I'll see You do it in Fort Payne. Like I've seen You do it in Nashville, in Florida, in Colorado, in North Carolina. God, I will see You do it here. God, You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. And we call on the power of God and we say, do what only You can do, God. We give You freedom, we give You reign, and we say we're willing to be uncomfortable. It may not look like we want it to look. It might not feel like we want it to feel, but more than anything, we want You to come and to move and to do what only You can do. So we consecrate and we give this place to You right now, and we say, have Your way, King Jesus. Have Your way, King Jesus. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you have a prayer language, just begin to pray in the Spirit for a moment. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for You. Sing it again. And Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for You. Father, I thank You that You don't dwell in things made with human hands. And though this is the meeting place You have given us, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, God, we don't just ask You to prepare this ground that we're standing on, but prepare our hearts, God. Prepare our minds, God. Prepare our hands, prepare our feet, prepare our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our nose. Prepare us to be the sanctuary of the Most High God. Lord, we don't want service to end when we speak the Aaronic blessing, but let it carry over into our lunch. Let it carry over into our shopping. Let it carry over into our jobs. Let it carry over into our fun. Let it carry over into our vacation, so that no matter where we go, we're a sanctuary of the Most High God. Peace goes with us. Joy goes with us. Anointing that breaks the yoke goes with us, God. I thank You for what You're doing in hearts and in lives. And I thank You that You're not done yet, God. But You will do it again. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So prepare us, God. Make us ready as we have yielded ourselves to You this morning. We've consecrated this place. I thank You that You are making, as we've made room, You're filling us. I thank You that as we get ready for being uncomfortable, the Holy Spirit will comfort. Father, I thank you that as we don't spare, you'll give more, because he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall also reap the same. Father, I pray that you would instill in us faithfulness, and that we would be people that would always stay grounded in who you are and in who you've called us to be. Let us not try to be the church down the street. Let us not try to be the person sitting next to us in service on Sunday morning. Let us be true to who you've called us to be. And let this be a place where you are free to move and to have your way. In Jesus' precious name, would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing this morning? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he put his name upon you. And it's that precious name that I want to declare, the name that in the New Testament we find out is above every other name. And I just speak Jesus the Christ over your life, over everything that you do, over everything that you touch. Blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Have a blessed week.